No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that love, that the love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in him loves abides in God. And God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will let us see you today. I pray you'll give us revelation. I pray you'll show us yourself, Lord. And God, I pray that that we understand, that we know, and we see you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been preaching on Love Thy Neighbor all summer. And I'm not sure we're getting it, because we're still seeking some of the wrong things. And we still don't have that understanding that I want us to have about loving your neighbor. Okay? I mean, let me say it like this. We're just too blasted much American. We think God's economy and God's kingdom functions the same way as America does. Now, I'm proud to be an American. I'm glad. I've been all over the world. I am so glad I'm here and so glad I'm in the South. I know why people in the North are mean. Their food's terrible. They have no flavor. No wonder. I mean, you can't enjoy a meal. You know, a meal puts you at P.O. I mean, man, they got up just as mad as it because it didn't do nothing for them. Kelly, you might need to go up there and start a restaurant and save the North from being mean. Anyway, that's another sermon. But what I'm saying to you is we still try to integrate, and I want you to get this, we still try to integrate the kingdom of this world with the kingdom of God. And we get confused. We don't understand why things are not working, because it should be working, but it's not working. I mean, we hadn't figured out this thing that you give and you find what you're looking for. We hadn't figured out that when you give your life away and you sow into others, all of a sudden something is planted in you. That when you love others, all of a sudden, when you love on somebody else, something happens in your heart and you feel loved. And you go, well, how does that happen? I don't know. I know I've been accused of oversimplifying things. I don't try to figure out stuff that I ain't trying to figure out the Trinity. I mean, that gives me a headache. And when Jesus is coming back, I ain't trying to figure that out. I ain't trying to figure none of this out. What I need to figure out is how to live in the kingdom of God right here while I'm still alive here. Heaven is taken care of. It's going to be mind-blowing. I'm going to be proud to be there for a million years. And I'm going to forget all them stupid questions I ever thought I'd ask. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask you this. You will not. You'll be so blown away, you'll just roll around on the ground being glad to be there. All right? So I need to figure out, okay, what's expected here? And I got to live in this kingdom that is above the kingdom that I live in the flesh. How do I do that in this thing so confusing? He says, look, if you lose your life, you'll find it. And I've had people, and I appreciate your honesty, I've had people ask, Brother Allen, you think you can really love like that and live your life that way? And I want to tell you, absolutely yes. You really can. Now let me define love real quick, make sure we understand what we're talking about. I'm talking about love without condition. That means love where I'm not going to get anything from you. Anybody, the way we dealt with this, anybody can love somebody. Look, if you pay my mortgage off, I'll love you the rest of my life. Well, anybody can do that. I'm talking about love people that don't deserve it, that can't do anything for you. Unconditional love. I'm talking about the love described in 1 Corinthians 13. We looked at that. Love is patient and kind and chooses not to be selfish and all those things. That kind of love. You can't love the whole world that way, but you can love your world that way. I can't love everybody that way, but I can love the people God brings in front of me that way. Now that's the love we're talking about. And look, twice in this passage, in this short passage, it uses the word perfected. Perfect. The word perfected means, look at this definition. In the Greek there, it means I'm going to accomplish. I'm going to complete. I'm going to live my... See, one of my goals is I want to get to the end of my life and have no regrets. And you go, oh, brother, ain't no way. Why not? I went for it. Everything didn't work out. I mean, Amy couldn't have a girl. One girl. But I feel complete. Carry through to the end. One of my goals is I want to finish well. I want to finish strong. And you know, when you get over 50, you start thinking about, my God, way more than half's behind me. I don't want to just fade away. I want to finish well. The only way I can do that is to be perfected in love. And look, to a conclusion, not only a conclusion, but a successful conclusion. That's the perfect he's talking about. And love can do that for you. Loving like he's talking about loving, you'll live that way. I want to give you four things real quick. I hope you write them down. I want you to think about them. Four things that loving this way will bring to you. Okay? You got it? Number one, you'll see God. When you love this way, you see God. I mean, in verse 12 that we just read, the whole chapter, you look at it, the whole chapter is about loving one another, loving your brothers, and then all of a sudden, he just throws this thing in here. Just throws this thing. No man has seen God at any time. But when someone loves like that, all of a sudden, God steps out of heaven, and all of a sudden, you can see it. The cross. I mean, do you understand? Do you understand that people didn't kill Jesus? The most arrogant thing that has ever happened was people to hate Jews because back in the Dark Ages because they are the ones that killed Jesus. Do you realize how stupid that is? Nobody killed Jesus. It wasn't them that killed him. It was love that killed him. Somebody had this man, listen to me, how is it this man hung on the cross? He was a bloody mess. He was beaten. He was cut. He was hanging there basically naked. He was hanging there naked. And the whole reason he stayed, he even laughed at Pilate and said, "Man, you ain't got no authority over me. The only reason I'm here is because my Father loves them so much, He wants a relationship, and somebody has to pay for their sins. That's the only reason I'm hanging here." And in that midst of that one moment, listen to me, this is incredible. In that midst of that incredible, unbelievable act of love, this man hanging on the cross, a bloody mess, saying some words, all of a sudden the guy hanging next to him that had been the same thing said, "You're a king. You've got a kingdom. Can I be in it?" I mean, all of a sudden in this one act of love, all of a sudden a man who should not have seen anything, all of a sudden he could see God. Even one of the guys, you read your Bible, one of the guys that killed him. I mean, after all that, "Father, forgive him," that act of love, the sheer power of that love, opened his eyes and said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." I've seen God. I saw God in this room when we did that foster care Christmas party for all the foster care kids. I'm telling you, man, I stood over there in that corner. I couldn't speak. I was so overwhelmed by the love that was in this room. I could see God. All of a sudden, not only was it good for the kids, everybody that was there said, man, it made them feel closer to God. Why? When you love that way, all of a sudden, God steps out of heaven and He visits with you. And you can see Him. And when God visits, miracles happen. That was one of my favorite stories of all time. Brian Dukes is the guy's name, Dan. I finally remembered it halfway through the service. He was thinking about adopting one of the kids and all that. He was thinking about adopting one of the children. And he said, "Brother, me and my wife are debating how do we do this? Which one do we choose? I mean, how do we choose? All of them need, which one do we choose?" And in the atmosphere where you could see God, kids, people were loving on kids that could do nothing for them. They were loving on people and were glad to do it. All of a sudden, I'm standing right there. I'll never forget that moment. In the midst of God visiting, Brian said in Mexico, he said, "Brother, I have no idea." I said, "Well, God will make it clear." About that moment, a kid walked up, pulled on his pants leg. And looked up at him and said, "I choose you." And ran off. I mean, we want God to come and do miracles. How about love that way, and God steps out of heaven and just shows up, and miracles happen when God shows up. You want to see God? Some of you say, "Man, I can't feel God anymore." It's because you're looking at yourself. When you start loving that way, you all of a sudden, God's everywhere. God's everywhere. You can see Him. Some of you can't see God because you're too busy looking at yourself. Too busy focused on you and your needs. I was reading a story when people do acts, and I started weeping. This story happened in late 1800s. A missionary organization had sent some money into Asia, and they We'll build an orphanage and a hospital and a church and all this stuff. And the guy was coming to make sure that the money was spent right. He's riding in his carriage. Gosh, oh my. He's riding in his carriage up to the thing, up the hill, and he looks out at the field, and he says, I saw something I have never seen before in my life. This was his words. He said, I had to stop the carriage. He said, I looked out there, and what I saw was a man plowing his field, and on one side of his plow, he had an oxen, and on the other side was a young 20-something-year-old young man pulling his plow. And he looked at his guide and he said, man, what? He said, oh, brother, that young man was an orphan in this orphanage. And Jesus' love has conquered his soul. And we didn't have enough. The money he sent wasn't quite enough to finish. And he came to the guy that adopted him, his dad. That's the guy behind the plow. And he told him, he said, Dad, sell the oxen. Sell the oxen and I'll take its place. Because we got to finish that orphanage. And the guy said, the power of that moment that he fell on the side of the road and all of a sudden he was overwhelmed with the love of God because somebody was loving like God would love. And all of a sudden, everybody around could see God a little bit clearer. You want to see God? Love. Number two, it gives you assurance. I love this one. It gives you assurance. Man, there is so little assurance. I'm not talking about insurance. I've had my dealings with insurance. That's another sermon. I better keep my mouth shut. But look what it says. Look at verse 7 and 8 if you have your Bibles. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Listen to this. How he who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. What is he saying? It's an assurance. When I love like that, because only God can love like that. You can do one or two acts, but when you start loving like that, all of a sudden, the first thing you feel is the love of God towards you. You can't help it. When you give away that pure love, all of a sudden you have assurance. All of a sudden, I mean, some of you right here in this room been coming to church all your life and still doubting whether God loves you or not. Still doubting whether he's for you. There's no assurance inside of you. Only God can love like that. And when you love, when you give out that love, you always receive more. You receive fresh love. Look at, just turn over one page, 1 John 3:18. Listen to this. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by, listen to this now, look at it. By this, by what? Your deeds, what you're doing out of love, the way you're loving people. By that, look what it says. Where am I? I lost my place. Y'all got me crazy. There it is. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Wow. Wow. I don't need you to tell me God loves me. I know God loves me. I have assurance. I'm not scared to die. I'm not. I have assurance that what I'm going to next, why? because I have felt the love of God. And when I give it out, all of a sudden, He gives me fresh and more than I gave out. And all of a sudden, my assurance grows and grows. And as you walk that out, you walk as somebody who doesn't need coddling, or who doesn't need, who isn't offended, or who isn't worried about everything. I mean, worry and strife is killing the church. We're afraid of the future. We're afraid of this. I know people that have said to me, man, well, you can't live without health insurance. Now, I'm not against health insurance. But I can tell you right now, me and my wife had lived without it and had 11 children without it. And we all right. I mean, you know, she might be a little off, but we all right. You go, what thing I learned? Well, how'd you have all them babies with? I learned this fact. This is a great fact. They will not come and repossess children. You can pay it off. I'm going to pay it off. They won't come and get it. But what I'm saying is, listen, some of you, how much, listen, let me ask you this question. How much insurance do you need to give you peace? You ain't got that much. You can't afford that much. You need assurance from the love of God. That my daddy's been to the future, and whatever comes up, my daddy is going to walk me through it because he loves me. And I know he loves me. Man, I know it. The more I live, listen, and remember, I've said this every sermon. It starts at home. Some of you men want God to visit you? Love your wife like this. Well, sometimes she makes me mad. Well, how many times you made God mad and He ain't zapped you? You know, back in the Old Testament, when God got angry, nations weren't around very long. But the love of Jesus Christ, hey, look, it starts at home. It starts in this room. It starts with the people you work with, your family. You want assurance that you are. I mean, some of you are still doubting whether you're saved or not. I mean, listen, you cannot live victorious and wonder about the very basics of the faith. Can't do it. And the only way that you're sure that you can assure yourself, are you listening? You cannot do enough good stuff and live a holy enough life to make you feel that. The only way you feel that is the love of the Father. And then you go, oh, Daddy loves me. It brings me assurance. I read a story. I mean, in my office, and I was by myself. It was probably good. Dan wasn't counseling in the office next to me. I mean, when I read a story, I went, yeah, devil! I just got fired up. It fired me up. When the Empress of Ireland, which was a big ship, an ocean liner, it was sinking. They didn't have enough life vests. They didn't have enough boats. And 130 Salvation Army officers were there. Now, back early on, the Salvation Army was the evangelistic arm of Christianity. I mean, that's all they cared about was getting people saved. And they started helping. They'd help people and feed people and do all. That's mainly what they're doing now. The Salvation Army is helping and feeding. But back then, it was salvation. They were spreading all over the world. They had 130 officers. None of them lived. And they'd find some of them. They found a few of them, and none of them had life vests on. And then some of the survivors told them what happened. These Salvation Army people who spent their life giving out the love of God knew the love of God themselves, because you can't give what you do not have. And they kept that flow. And what they were doing, the witnesses said the Salvation Army officers were taking their life vests off and putting it on grown men, and with smiles on their faces said, "I can die better than you. I can die better than you." Now that's assurance. And the love of God gives you that. We can all have it. Amen? Amen. Number three. It gives you, let me quickly, it makes you, love makes you last to the end. I want to finish well. Me and my wife have talked about that. And love, perfected, means bring us all the way to the end, to the conclusion. Love is the only thing. Look, I'm not going to be able to preach like, I mean, those of you who have been around here a long time, I preach a little different than I used to. I used to be wild. I was like the Gallagher of preaching. I'd throw stuff and bust stuff and break stuff. I still like to do it every once in a while, but not as much. I mean, I can't preach like that, but what I can do all the way to the end is I can love. That will take me. That will motivate me. Love always overcomes my lack. Love is the only thing that will keep me going. Love never fails. Some of you that have been around here a long time, you've heard me tell this story, but it impacted me so. See, let me tell you something. I've seen miracles, and I've seen love. And I'm telling you, when love shows up, it changes who you are. It impacts you for the rest of your life. When you feel the love of God, when you know His love, it changes you. As a small boy, I was a lot smaller than I am now, but 18 or so, I watched Glenn Soans, who had had two strokes and couldn't hardly speak anymore. My dad said, I want you to come visit this guy. I had known him because he had gone to our church. I hadn't seen him in years. Didn't know he had a stroke. And he had another one. This man would take the phone book with his curled up, stroke-ridden hand. And I'm standing there as an 18-year-old kid, and I looked at it, and he would take it, and he would plop it down on the phone book, and he would pray for every person listed in the picking phone book till the day he died. And I said, I asked his wife, why does he do that? He said, because the love of God makes him do it. He couldn't help it. He knew the love of God himself. And that man, forget preachers and all, that man finished well. And it was the love of God that took him through his whole life. And the last one is the love of God makes you not ashamed. Love makes you bold. I hate to say this, but let me say this. I know some of you doubt this. You think I was reading the Bible when I came out. But there was a time in my life that I wasn't good. I just wasn't good. Okay, we'll just leave it with that. And so I know, and so you guys, that you'll understand what I'm saying. See, when you didn't love a girl, but you didn't have nothing else to do, you wanted to go out with her. But you didn't love her, so you didn't want people to know you were dating her, so you'd take her to Hattiesburg or somewhere. Because all the guys getting real quiet. No, I never done. Yeah, you did. You're lying. You know, because I don't love her, I'm not very proud of her, you know. And so or a blind date, in case it goes bad or she's bad or whatever, you go to Well, I'll take you to this place in New Orleans. And, you know, don't see nobody. Do you understand? Listen to me now. Do you understand? When you feel this kind of love, it makes you bold. You're not ashamed. Some of you are ashamed of talking to Jesus, talking about Jesus' people, because you haven't fallen in love with Him yet. And see, we were preached all our life. You got a witness. You got a witness. You got a witness. You pagans, you better witness. You ain't witness. If you're ashamed of God, He'll be ashamed of you. Anybody ever heard that sermon? I heard it all my life, and it still didn't help me none. But let me tell you what changed me. When I fell in love and experienced the love of God, I couldn't help but talk about Him. I couldn't help but share. I was in love. It makes you. I mean, when I fell, I never really. You know, I had puppy love one time, but I never really loved till I fell in love with her. And I mean, it makes you do stuff you never dreamed and like doing it. I mean, I found myself shoe shopping and didn't complain about it either. I'd go, Amy, this is beautiful. Oh no, that's hideous. Obviously, I'm not sure up on ladies' shoes. It'll make you do all kinds of things. See, some of you are you don't want to do. You don't want to go mess with the children. You don't want to do all that. You don't want because it's because you don't love God enough. Man, when a group of people start loving God, you have too many volunteers. Because they all say, man, I want to do something for God. I love Him. I'm not ashamed. I'll do it. We'll go. We'll do that. It makes you bold. John and Peter was so bold, he said, I am not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. He requested that he was crucified upside down. Because I'm not worthy of that. That's bold. When you feel the love of God for the first time, it makes you bold. You don't mind talking about it. You don't mind sharing it. You don't mind inviting people to church. Oh, don't invite. I don't know. It might be one of those Sundays. It might get crazy. People, hey, I hope it is. But some of you got to understand that the love of Christ is what will change your life, what will make you bold. You cannot ask, listen. Love drives out fear. Don't ask for courage. Ask for love. And all of a sudden you will have courage. I've seen the love of God. I've seen God when I went to India in that orphanage. And we were taking kids literally that were just 10-year-old girls taking care of their 4-year-old sibling and 2-year-old sibling because their mama had left them, and they're living on this little street corner in this city. And this little girl, we had taken her and put her in the orphanage. And this little girl would worship God, but she would always go over and take care of her brother and sister. 10 years old, just constantly taking care of them because I'm the only one they got. And all of a sudden, I stepped back and I said, man, all of a sudden, I feel a little closer to God because of this girl's love. I felt like God had stepped out of heaven. When I was 18, 19, one of those, before I surrendered to the ministry, I was a miserable person. And I did something that it was one of those things that you say when you're growing up, I'll never do that. You know what I'm saying? One of those your own Ten Commandments type thing, I'll never do that. And I found myself doing just what I said I'd never do. the man that I had offended greatly. Was on his way to see me. Never forget this moment as long as I live. I thought we were going to roll. Just, well, that's what I would have done. I was so sure of it that I went on. He was walking at me, and I braced myself. It's fixing to be on. I wept about this morning. I stood in my office, and I lifted my hands, and I thanked the Lord because of His great love. This man walked up to me, and he walked directly to me. And all of a sudden, I saw tears down his face. And he walked up, and he looked at me and said, "Alan, I forgive you." And he hugged me and walked out. And I'm telling you, the power of that moment, I had to go get my car and I wept for hours. God was so real at that moment. God had stepped out of heaven and came down and visited with me on the power of that love. Some of you can't see God because you're so busy looking at yourself. I see God all the time. I've seen God. I watch a stranger walk in my house. And I watch my wife forget about a stranger, three strangers who I picked up on the side of the road and I brought them to my house. I was thinking about that moment, how awkward that was. It was three ladies and here's this big guy. They don't know, and I'm going to take you to my house. You know, I didn't even think about it at the moment until afterwards. I went, God, I'd have felt weird too. I mean, they kind of, oh, okay, and they ease in the house. House wasn't necessarily ready for visitors. But my wife walked over there and did what she does, just gave the love of God. And all of a sudden, the tension in the room disappeared. And she hugged on those ladies and loved on them. All of a sudden, God was in the room. We started talking about God things and all that. And it was all ushered in on somebody loving their neighbor. I want to live my life seeing God. I want to live my life knowing that God exists and that I am loved by Him. Jesus was not ashamed. He hung on the cross naked. He did all that because He loved us. He was not ashamed of us. And I just want to tell you one last thing, and I want to give the invitation. Love, that kind of love, it makes you bold. I'm not afraid of judgment. See, if you're living by a different set than the kingdom, you are afraid of judgment. Oh, I'm not afraid to stand before God. You know why? Because I got a great lawyer. In fact, my trial has already been rigged. My lawyer is the son of the judge. And my lawyer is going to show his scars to pay for my sins. I'm just going to sit back and drink coffee or whatever they got in heaven. I'm sure they'll have something better. And I'm going to go, you know, some people go to court and get $10 million. I'm liable to get a new car out of the thing. I'm liable to, why? Because I'm bold. Because why? The love of the Father. You feel that love when you give that love. Two things I felt like the Lord spoke to me this morning. Some of you hadn't felt God in a long time, and you're asking God to overwhelm you, to touch you, or whatever. And God's waiting for you to give away what you have. God's waiting for you to give what you have. Because when He gives you more, it's always more and it's always a little bit better. You know, it's always a little bit better. It's always, when I give more and I see Him, I have that revelation. Some of you need to understand. I felt like the Lord spoke to me real clearly this morning. Some of you are here in bondage and you're waiting for some power to break through and break it off of you, that addiction and that power and all those things. And I'm telling you, it is the love of God that will break that off of you. When you start running in His love, things break off of you.